Hank from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull, how the heck are you, sir?
It's been a week, Darren. It's been a week.
Yeah, you and me both, good sir.
Yeah, yeah. That's, not the greatest week I've had.
I have my
fun new quarantine game where I'm like home alone with my thoughts and I'm like, well, is this laziness? Is this depression? Is this just how things work in quarantine? I don't know. It's a fun game I play.
John, it sounds like one of the sketches from tonight's show may have spoken to you, but we'll get there.
Yeah. I would say that's an accurate assessment.
Oh boy. Ooh, yeah. I think people are getting are starting to hit that wall, that that COVID quarantine wall. Where I mean, we're creeping up on a year.
I know.
Going through this insanity, and people are getting a little buggy, getting a little wacky.
Yeah, we're getting nuttier as a nation, as a people.
Yeah. Oh Lord, yes. I mean, I'm looking forward to like when the weather gets warmer and I'm able to see some of our friends outdoors and parks and stuff like that. Because like that is the one thing I kind of took away from all of this is just that human interaction. It's a lot more important than I thought it was.
Yeah. As I mean, we're both on the introverted side, and it's. I joked in the early days of this, I was like, I'm kind of built for quarantine. I'm introverted. I can like stay at home for days. I cut my own hair with like just shaving it down.
Oh,
so I didn't have to worry about letting haircuts go.
I didn't even know you did that. I thought, wow. Okay. You self haircuts? How do you even do that? You get just like a bunch of mirrors and
you get clippers. It's not a complex thing.
Clippers, you say. All right. I just imagine you with like a Flobee on your head, just kind of using.
No, never done the Flobee.
Oh.
You know, I leave that to the big Hollywood stars like George Clooney.
That's too fancy pants for me. I'm not. That's too sharp an image. I don't even know Flobee.
I don't know. I mean, what do you do? You just basically shave your head, right?
Yeah, actually, I do. Like I usually when it gets a little too stubbly, I use a razor with like that with a bendable head that kind of gets all the corners just so I don't nick and scrape my head up, which I have done before and it's not pleasant. But then I also got one of these little hand shavers where you kind of just move it around your head and it has like a rotating head on it and it kind of gets all the plucks out all the ingrown hairs and whatnot. It actually works
pretty
well.
See, that sounds fancy.
I
just recently got like one of those little trimmers so you can get the stray hairs everywhere, but I couldn't get the thing open to get the battery inside, and I am literally going to have to go to the website to figure out how to get the battery inside because there are no written instructions. It was just a diagram which was not very clear.
Oh, like IKEA style where it's just like A goes into B.
Not even that. There's not even that much text. It is just a diagram saying like, you know, oh, hey, take this off. And it's like, well, I'm obviously doing something wrong to take this off and I can't get the battery in. And you can't really use it without a battery because it has no power.
Oh, the future is now.
Future is now. And it's just, it just kind of sucks. I mean, before we started recording, you were telling me all about your computer woes this week. And
because like as you know, most of you have known. I don't know if the sound quality has changed or you've been able to hear it, but I've been using an old laptop for the past few episodes because the new one was in the shop. I got my new laptop out of the shop, and I was trying to sign back in. And apparently, all PCs use Microsoft, and you need like a recovery key to get back in and to use your laptop again. And I don't remember it. So, like, I tried to have them email it to me, but the email address I had was, like, an old deleted email that I don't use it anymore.
Things are supposed to get simpler
right?
with time. As you move further into the future, we're supposed to get simpler with these things. But they always get more complicated. Like, we just logged on to the site we record this podcast on, Zencastr. They've redone their whole interface, so we're both getting used to that.
The world is changing at a rapid rate, and I'm not ready for it.
No. No, it's just,
We got all these new doodads and hooba Jews. We got people hosting SNL that we'd never heard of. It's time is moving too quickly.
It is. It is. Yeah, as you said, this week we're covering SNL episode season 46, episode 13 from February 20th, 2021 with Reggae John Page from Bridgerton and musical guest Bad Bunny.
Right. And as you may have remembered before, when the first time we heard these two guests would be on the show, we were both like, who is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Reggae John Page, he has quite the following.
He's one of the stars of the Netflix show Bridgerton, which I know is one of the big trendy shows right now, because I know it's like a period piece, sort of like a Sense and Sensibility thing, but it's sexier. It's more sexed up and it's more explicit.
Right.
And it's a Shonda Rhimes show.
It's a Shonda Rhimes joint. I think the thing that separated is like you said, like a lot of smoldering sexiness. And it's also like a multiracial show too, where they have just black people in like this Elizabethan time show and people of all different types of like races in it, which is not
really. So it's like a colorblind casting type of thing, because like he's playing a Duke.
Right. And I mean, it's something that's I don't think is really done. Like usually when you see like a show or a movie that takes place in that era, it's all white people, but like they're mixing it up, and it seems to be doing really well, and people really like it. I think they do bring up the subject of, you know, why there's so many different races in a little bit here and there, but it's not really commented on that much.
I wonder if that's like a Hamilton influence, like that's made that sort of outside the box casting more acceptable or more mainstream, I guess.
Possibly. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Maybe. I don't know. I just thought of it now. But,
all right.
So, yeah. And apparently, Reggae John Page has quite the ardent fan base.
Dude. I mean, we're going to get into it. But, my God, this audience. I mean, my God.
The audience on this show is... Oh, okay, it reminded me of, this was probably like back in the mid aughts when like Josh Hartnett hosted, and it was like when Josh Hartnett was at the height of his fame, or his,
right?
You know, he was at the peak of his fame.
The peak.
And
peak
like
heart,
whenever
peak
he heartness. Stepped out on stage, everyone in the audience was like, "Woo, woo!" And I'm sure that's thrilling. To if you're there in the audience and you're really into Josh Hartnett or Reggae John Page, but oh my God, it gets exhausting to listen to.
Dude, like we'll talk about it now, because like I have a lot to say about it, just because I totally agree with you. Because like last week with the Regina King episode, I think I even commented on how the audience was like not that great. They weren't very responsive.
Yeah, they were kind of dead.
This is the polar opposite of that audience. Yeah.
This is the Amy polar opposite of,
yes.
I mean, this is like a 180 degrees, and it's the other side of the same coin. They're totally annoying for a totally different reason.
Right. It's like Goldilocks with the porridge. Like last week's audience was too cold. This audience was too hot. Like they were screaming and hollering like banshees in the night over just anything. Like, there's one sketch, the pool hall sketch, where somebody just says the word, they mention Billie Eilish, and they're like, "Ah, Billie Eilish!" Yeah, this audience screams and loses their minds over setups of jokes. They're going into the joke, and already they're like, "Oh my God!"
This is okay. I'm gonna do a deep dive geek reference. I know, very very off brand for me, but. There was an old episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where Data the android, he's trying to understand humor. So what does he do? He goes onto the holodeck and he, of course, calls up Joe Piscopo. Because Enterprise computers are saying like Joe Piscopo was like the funniest comedian of all time. Now, he's not playing Joe Piscopo, but it is Joe Piscopo playing this part. And you're just like, really? I think you need to get the Enterprise computers checked out. So Data, he at the end of the episode, he's performing this sort of Shecky Green type routine. and they're very lame jokes. But the audience is just roaring at everything he does because it's a holodeck audience and they're programmed to just respond like really positively to anything. And at one point, Data like literally just raises his arm and the audience loses it. That's what this reminded me of.
Yeah, I do. All right, first of all, I applaud you for picking that reference because that does tie into this podcast with Joe. As soon as you said Joe Piscopo, I was like, wait, what?
You had my
attention.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the audience, it just immediately that popped into my head just now. And it's the episode, second season, Outrageous Okana, if you want to check that out. It's got Whoopi Goldberg and it's got Joe Piscopo and it's got Billy Campbell from The Rocketeer. So
wow. I am flabbergasted. Listeners, I was not expecting to talk about Joe Piscopo and Star Trek this episode.
He's one of those people, like, you look up a list on the internet, and 10 people you wouldn't believe were on Star Trek. Yeah, Joe Piscopo is one of those people.
Oh, wow. I learned something today. Wow.
This is like 1988, so it's not really like Joe Piscopo was really the thing anymore.
Yeah, he was kind of dying down a little bit by then, I guess.
Yeah. Joe Piscopo, he was, I mean, all respect to Joe Piscopo, but he was on the downward slide at this point.
Right. Johnny Dangerously was a... That was a, you know, way...
That was in the rearview mirror.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He had passed those days.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother only hit me once. Once.
So anyway, the audience in this episode.
Yeah, like, I...
Because for me, it got to the point where, like, okay, it's fine if you go nuts at the end of a sketch, or if you're laughing or applauding. That's what you're supposed to do. But they were like, wooing and whooping and... And it got to the point where I felt like they were throwing off the timing of the sketch.
I would agree with you. Like, they were screaming to the point where it almost kind of ruined the show for me a little bit. Just because, like, they were screaming over everything. Like, everything. And, like, I don't know if that maybe threw off the performers or what. But, like, when you scream and hoop over everything, then that kind of messes with the comedy and the timing, like you said. And if everything is whoop-worthy... Then
nothing is whoop worthy.
Yeah, exactly. You are
devaluing your whoops.
Exactly. Then nothing is funny, really. If everything is the funniest thing you've ever seen, like Def Comedy Jam, hilarious to you. So then it just pulls the wind out of the sails a little bit, and it then it just becomes noise at that point, and then it just becomes annoying. It was just like, oh my, this is too much. Much like the Cool and the Gang song. This is too high.
It was a lot. It was a lot to take, man. And it just, I probably wouldn't have minded if I was in the audience. But I mean, it sounded like they had a full house, and I know they've still got to have like a limited COVID audience.
I'm
hoping they're still doing that.
I didn't get that impression at all. It sounded like you said, the place was packed. Unless it was just like literally like 10, you know, women and middle-aged ladies just screaming at the top of their lungs over every little thing this John Reggae John was doing. I said his name wrong and I just went with it.
Yeah, that's fine.
John Reggae Levy John Page.
We were doing so well too, but should we get into the show itself? I mean, that's our blanket criticism, is that the audience was just way annoying. Yeah, just banshees.
Let's get into it. Yeah, let's.
Okay, let's get into it. The show opened up with what is being called on YouTube, Britney Spears cold open.
Right. It's like a talk show format called "Oops, You Did It Again," and we get Chloe Fineman as Britney Spears. Chloe Fineman anchoring a cold open.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see her doing Britney Spears because the 10 o'clock. Rerun this week was a show that Britney Spears was the host and musical guest for. This was like back around season 25, 26, I think. And so it was interesting because I had the real Britney sort of fresh in my mind. And then we see Chloe Fineman imitating Britney because Britney's in the news because of that whole Framing Britney Spears documentary.
Right, right. She's trending, as the kids say.
Yeah, yeah. And So the show she's hosting is Oops, You Did It Again, which is basically like people apologizing for things they've done that they shouldn't have. Like if you, and the sponsor was the Notes app, if you're like offering a lame ass apology 20 years too late, which was, I think, kind of a take of that at Justin Timberlake from what I could gather.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that one.
Well, I mean, Justin Timberlake in the news sometime this week, he did sort of a blanket apology to both Britney Spears and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, but I didn't connect that the Notes app thing with a shot at Tim B. Lake.
I think it had to be, yeah, because I haven't watched that Britney documentary, but I understand it doesn't necessarily paint him in the best light, or like, you know, maybe his behavior wasn't as good as it could have been, and that prompted him to do a public apology to both Britney Spears and to Janet Jackson for the whole Nipplegate thing.
Yeah, I think people are starting to realize now, like back in the late 90s and early aughts, that there's like a lot of, you know, female women performers that we didn't maybe treat like the best, like Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and, you know, Courtney Love and Amy Winehouse. And it's like, oh, yeah, we could have treated them a little bit better.
I mean, it still seems to be the default. Like we give men the benefit of the doubt much, much more.
Agreed.
And it's coming out and I think that's a good thing, especially if it gets people to change their behavior or, you know, look at their behavior a little more.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. On this cold open, we have people coming out apologizing for things they've done. Of course, first up, Aidy Bryant as Ted Cruz, because of course he's in the news because he apparently bounced on his home state of Texas to go to Cancun because, you know, Texas is all cold and freezy and stuff. And
just a great decision all the way around. People were just dragging Ted Cruz on Twitter and everywhere on social media, and so he was basically shamed into coming back.
Right, and of course, Aidy comes out dressed as, you know, wearing like a Cancun t-shirt and dragging like the suitcase with him with the wheels on it
and the hair in cornrows.
Yes, that was a nice little
touch. Was what killed me.
That was a nice little touch. Yeah. He says I apologize because it appears like I'm in a little bit of hot water, which from what I understand that people in Texas don't have.
Yeah. And we also had Pete Davidson as Andrew Cuomo, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. And he's got a scandal this week of there's a nursing home scandal where apparently they were counting counting nursing home deaths as hospital deaths instead of nursing home deaths. So it was throwing all the stats off.
Right. So you like Cuomo was kind of covering it up. And apparently that's not a good thing to do.
No. That's not cool. And Pete Davidson comes out and he's making the comparison to if someone dies at Disney World, they always, because Disney is so huge and monolithic, they apparently can do a thing where nobody dies on the grounds of Disney World.
Yeah, that's a real thing, right? Like if somebody...
That's a real thing. Like they are somehow able to just take the body out. And, you know, now they died in the parking lot.
You're like, oh, no, they didn't die on the Matterhorn. They died, you know, like you said, like in the parking lot or like in a swamp down the road.
Yeah. It's because it's the happiest place on earth and you don't want to shut things down for a freaking second. I still don't know how Disney has that arrangement. That is so shady.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, why should death bum out everybody's good time? But also, I'll say Pete Davidson's Andrew Cuomo, not bad.
He did a really nice job here. He has upped his game.
Yeah, he's becoming like a really solid performer throughout the years.
Yeah. He's becoming a good utility player this season. And I mean, it used to be he just had his lane and he ran in that. You know, he'd do like sort of a stand up thing on Weekend Update, and he'd play like college students and stuff. And he wouldn't really ever play anybody from the world of politics. But now, yeah, he's getting into it a bit more. That was interesting to see. And he did a nice job.
Kudos to you, Pete.
Yeah. And then we also had Cecily popping up as Gina Carano, who is an actress from The Mandalorian show on Disney Plus. She was basically canceled because she compared being conservative in today's United States like being Jewish in Nazi Germany. And as you might imagine, that did not go over well.
You don't say. Not good. Yeah.
So not good. So yeah, Disney like put out a statement saying, hey, we may let people die in our theme parks, but not officially. But we're not going to rehire this person because even we have limits.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's like they're painting themselves as the good guys, but then they're, you know, people don't die in their premises.
I don't think you can be a corporation as big as Disney without having some shady or questionable shit, you know?
Yeah, no, you've done some shit. There are graves.
I mean, it's just they're too big and people are too horrible on average.
Right. I mean, this might get us put on the list. Shit.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
This could be the end for us. I don't know.
Yeah. I look at my Disney Plus bill. I'm like, $500 for the month. What?
Hey, look, I still avail myself of Disney services. I rewatched both Infinity War and Ant-Man and the Wasp this week. So
that's right. I still got to see how WandaVision ends, all right? I'm
exactly. Exactly. WandaVision is, oh, it's so good.
Fantastic.
But a thing I liked about this sketch was that nobody else wanted to have anything to do with Ted Cruz.
Right. There was that one line that I thought was good where Ted Cruz is like, hey, I sympathize with you, Gina, like you and I were the same. And then at one point, 80 kind of slips up. She says, yeah, you and me, you know, we're strong, misunderstood women.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, 80 is playing a man. And I think that causes Cecily to crack a little bit. And she's like, she laughs out her response, like, no, we're not the same. Like, I'm a strong woman. You are a pile of soup.
Yeah, I didn't take that as a mistake on 80's part. I thought that was just, you know, Ted Cruz trying to ally himself with somebody and just doing a horrible Ted Cruz job of it.
Oh, I thought
that was how I took it.
I don't know. I thought maybe, all right, you might be right.
I mean, because it was clueless enough that I could see Ted Cruz saying that.
Yeah. Anything clueless and that seems like a mistake. Yeah, that seems like something he'd say.
I mean, because, you know, he comes back from Cancun and he was like, oh, well, it was my daughter's idea. I wanted to go make my daughters happy. And I think his daughters are like 12 and 10, something like that.
Yeah, and of course, I think that the news pointed out, well, the mom was with them too, so why didn't the mom just take them? Why do you have to be there? And so it's like,
why does anybody have to go at all?
Yeah.
Stay in your state and you make things better. You're an elected official. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, AOC, like, she has raised, like, literally $4 million.
Yeah.
For Texas.
And, like, Beto did some great stuff too, and then, yeah. Of course, people were saying, like, oh, well, they're just doing that to make Ted look bad. I was like, they don't need to do anything to make Ted look bad. Like,
yeah, no, Ted manages that all by himself. And even if they are doing that to make him look bad, so what? You're still raising money for a great cause.
Right. Like, if I'm with somebody and we both see a homeless dude and I give the homeless dude a dollar, you know, the guy can't say to me, oh, you just gave that guy, a homeless dude, like a dollar just to make me look bad. I was like, no, just I gave him because he needs some money. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, cold open, what are your thoughts? I thought this was okay. It seemed like they were just kind of something that they always do. They were just kind of saying, like, word for word what happened in the news. Like, there were a few little
jabs
here and there. I thought Chloe's Britney Spears wasn't the best, but I did like Pete Cuomo. And, you know, just for the fact it's not a political open, I thought it was all right. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, sometimes it's a bit of a strain to try and find a common thread among all these different news stories in a single week. Here, I thought the thread of, you know, apologizing, I thought that was pretty good. That drew them together. I agree with you that Britney is maybe not Chloe's strongest impression, you know, but she does so many great impressions, and it was so nice to see her get a prominent role in the cold open. I didn't care. And it's always fun to see Cecily play an unhinged woman.
Yes.
In the news. I mean, that's her sweet spot. That's her wheelhouse.
Yes. More like any other unhinged woman in the news. We need more of that so Cecily can play them more roles.
And I enjoy Edie as Tom Cruise, Ted Cruz, not Tom Cruise. I'm sure she would do a wonderful Tom Cruise as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe.
Let's have Edie as Tom Cruise and let's see what that's like.
We'll have 80s scream at the film crew on the set of the next Mission Impossible movie because everybody doesn't mask up.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. So next we had the monologue from Reggae Jean Page. Audience, of course, going wild for him. Rowdy to the point of being obnoxious about it.
Dude, this monologue, they did something different with this monologue. I don't know if you caught it. Usually they have the guest host say a few things, say some jokes. But with this monologue, they decided to have all the women in the audience to scream at the top of their lungs for 5 minutes straight. I don't know if you caught that. But.
Yeah. That was noticeable. I occasionally was able to get a snatch of dialogue from the host or the cast members. They brought out 80 as his personal liaison to SNL, and then Ego comes out as his personal liaison to SNL.
Yeah.
So basically, the joke is all the SNL women being like hot and bothered by him.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
Yeah, it's just that, and it's just like him saying, "Oh no, I'm just actually an average guy. I'm a nerd." And then, of course, he cuts to the camera and gives that smoldering look, and it's like, "Oh, I burn for you." And of course, everybody going, "Oh my god!" Ah! Like it's.
Yeah.
I know I sounded like a parrot right there, but it was literally kind of on that level, just like, "Wow, this is." Jesus.
They also had him sing Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. And then Chloe comes out as Daphne, his love interest in Bridgerton. And towards the end, 80 says, like, "Oh, yeah, we actually have other sketch ideas that are not just you being an extremely hot sex man." So yeah,
it's, I wasn't too wild about this cold open. It's because it just basically plays on the fact, yeah, he's hot. He's really hot. He's super hot. He's smoldering hot. Look how hot he is. We all want to have sex with him. He's hot. He's hot. He's hot. Like, I kind of wish they would have, like, played with that a little bit more or taken it in some other different directions or explored it, but they just kind of beat that same... They're just beating that drum, being that same thing over and over again, you know, the audience was fine with it because that's all they really wanted, I guess, but...
That was what they were there for, I think, yeah.
Just like,
they were just hot. There to bask in his handsomeness.
He's a handsome fella. I'll give you.
Oh yeah, yeah, a handsome guy, charismatic guy. Judging from this show, very talented performer.
Yeah.
So I get it. I totally get the appeal.
He's a looker.
Yeah, it just got a little exhausting. No. I did like it when 80 was just kind of rallied people, and she was like, you know, "Get your pencils, bitches. We're rewriting everything."
Yeah.
I thought that was a cute way to end it. So it sounded like I liked the monologue a little more than you did.
Yeah, I was kind of whatever on it, but it's like, yeah, okay. Get your pencils, bitches, is a great line. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, they do this once in a while when they have one of those extremely attractive hosts. I remember when Benedict Cumberbatch hosted the Beck Bennett did the mock game show of like, "Why is Benedict Cumberbatch hot?" And
yeah,
they played on it when Margot Robbie hosted. I remember, and I think like they did a Wonder Woman sketch with Gal Gadot. Everybody was just going goo-goo gaga over her. So, I mean, they do this with any of those inhumanly handsome Hollywood people.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're right. I guess it's just an easy go-to. It's like, let's talk about how insanely attractive they are.
Exactly. So next we had first sketch, Actors Spotlight, with Ego hosting a Actors Spotlight. And... Reggae's playing a fellow who is playing Malcolm X, and Ego's very surprised that he's British. And then we have Chris Redd as Daniel Kaluuya, and she's surprised that he's British. And then we have Keenan as Ice Cube, who tries to pretend that he's British.
That's basically it. I thought the sketch was interesting because I thought it was going to go one way, and then it kind of went another. So, Reggae plays Kingsley Ben-Adir, who's the actor that plays Malcolm X in One Night in Miami.
That's a real actor he was playing, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I thought he was a fictional character at first, but then the second person was Daniel Kaluuya, who I know is a real person. So I was like, oh, I guess that first guy was real.
Yeah, he's most known for now is he's in One Night in Miami. He plays Malcolm X, and he is a British actor. And
gotcha.
Then, of course, Daniel Kaluuya, he's in the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, where he plays Fred Hampton. And, of course, he is a British actor as well. And, like, the way they kind of set it up, like the way Ego is like surprised that both of them are British and the way she kind of plays it up. I thought that would be the joke, but then it took this turn where Keenan is Ice Cube, and then it just goes into Keenan pretending to be British just to, like, I guess, kind of keep up with the other actors and be...
And it's a really bad British accent,
too. Yeah, it's just like, you know, hello, governor! How's
not even that good.
How's your chipping biscuits, me love?
It's, I mean, like, Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins would look at this British accent and be like, yeah, that's not too good, dude.
Crikey, your British accent's all wobbly-woo.
Right. And then at the tail end, we had Alex Moffat doing a little cameo as Hugh Grant. And a decent Hugh Grant.
Yeah, not too bad. Basically, Ice Cube was saying, oh, no, I'm from London. I'm from Tickle Buckle Circle. That wording kind of made me giggle a little bit. Just the Tickle Buckle Circle. And, of course, the two of them are like saying, hey, you're not from London. You're from, Compton. You're from L.A. We all know this. And
all your songs are about you being from South Central.
Yeah, he's the ambassador of South Central L.A. And he's like, oh, right. No, I'm from, I go down to the ye old slurp and burp and have a point. I'll do. And, of course, then, like you said, like Alex Moffat plays Hugh Grant, who comes in and he sees Ice Cube. And he's like, hey, crikey, isn't that old... Is that Ice Cube from the Tickle Buckle Circle?
Right.
And that's how they kind of wrapped it up. I mean, I thought this was all right.
This is all right. Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Just basically plays on, or the strength is, of course, Keenan being, how charming you find Keenan doing a horrible British accent and just saying nonsense British words, which,
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I felt like this worked.
Yeah, for the most part.
I don't think it's a sketch for the ages, but I thought it was perfectly fine. It was a good sketch.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Absolutely. Next up, what do we got? Loco?
Loco featuring Bad Bunny. This was a pre-tape film thing with Ego out in the club.
The club.
And, she sees an ultra handsome man played by guess who? Okay, now you just sound like wild gorillas in the mist or something.
That's how it sounded to me. I kind of sound like an Edith Bunker there. I think I got from it.
Yeah, it was Edith Bunker starring in Gorillas in the Mist.
I want you.
But she sees like ultra handsome man, and she's like, getting ready to get down with him, and then. It comes out like, no, I'm actually home just imagining this. No one's even touched my butt in a year.
Yeah, and that's basically it. Like you said, it starts off like a hip-hop music video, how she's the baddest bitch up in this place. And she walks up to, Reggae saying, hey, you're going to have to do me the hot stuff. And then Reggae's like, actually, no, this is all in your mind. I'm not real. You're just at home in quarantine and you're going crazy. You're going loco. Which, yeah, and then that's pretty much it. Then it's just her talking about how she's slowly going crazy and she hasn't talked to anybody and her best friend is a plant. I tell her she can keep going on. She texts Pete Davidson, who's also going crazy, and he's going so insane he watched the movie Tenant and totally understood it.
Yeah. I dug this. I thought this was funny. I didn't see the turn coming, and I think it really spoke to where a lot of people are right now mentally. So,
Yeah, this was a sketch. I was like, oh, this sounds like where Trumbull might be at right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just your plant is now Bad Bunny, just rapping about how you're going insane.
I mean, thank you for assuming I have a plant. I mean, I'm not really at that economic bracket, but that's a level of emotional commitment I'm not quite ready for, is owning a plant.
I thought you had enough money to get a plant. I thought this podcast was paying you well enough so you can get like a nice fern or a nice ficus.
I am working my way up to that. Okay. I'm not at the fern and ficus economic plateau yet.
All right. Well, hang in there, brother.
It's not in my pay grade right now.
Once this Patreon pops off, you'll be up to your neck in ficuses.
Ficacia? I don't know.
Ficacay, ficacay.
See, that's why I haven't bought one yet. I don't know how to pluralize it. If I bought a second one, I'd have no idea how to refer to them. And who needs that kind of pressure?
No one, not in this economy.
No.
But yeah, next so this gets it though. Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. This I thought was really strong. I think the pre-tapes, as a rule, these days are generally pretty strong.
Yeah,
because they can craft them a little more.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Next, we had a driver's license. This is a bunch of friends hanging out in a pool hall, and then the jukebox plays the song "Driver's License" by Olivia Rodrigo, and they start analyzing the song and bonding over that.
Right, because I guess the joke is in this one is like it's a bar full of dudes shooting pool, and the song Olivia Rodrigo, which is I guess it's a real. This is the first time I ever heard this song. I've never heard it, but it's like more of a sort of a sensitive song about a teenage girl who gets her first driver's license, and I guess that's
and it like reminds her of an ex or something.
Yeah, and like you know, all the guys are like are getting moved by it and very. Very sensitive, and they're all up in their feelings over this song.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of hooting and hollering from the audience.
So
to
much
the point of obnoxiousness.
So much hooting and hollering. Like at one point, I think Alex Moffat was like, "Oh, I don't know about the song. It's giving me Billie Eilish vibes." Oh, ah! Billie Eilish! Oh! And then somebody. And then I think Pete says, "Oh no, actually, this is more of a Taylor Swift type of vibe." Oh, Taylor Swift! I know that person. Ah, God, ah, God, ah!
It's like what in stand-up comedy they call clapter, where like an audience will just applaud for recognizing a reference. Like, oh, that's a name that we know. Yay!
Yeah, it was.
And
yeah,
I don't know. It wrecked the sketch for me. I didn't think it was the strongest sketch. Honestly, I thought. It wasn't as funny as, like, say, that lollipop sketch they did a few years ago with Don Cheadle.
Yeah, like, I would agree with you. This kind of reminded me of that, because I think with the lollipop, mm-hmm. with that lollipop sketch that you said, even if you hadn't heard the song, you could kind of, they did it in a way where you could still laugh at the sketch, even if you didn't get it. But, like, with this right. sketch, there was, like, it just filled it with, like, a lot of references that only people who knew this song would get. Like, they talked about how this was, like, a song from like High School Musical, the series, which is something else I've never seen. And of course they mentioned,
right.
It's like, basically they filled it with like a bunch of pop culture references that if you weren't in on those pop culture references, you wouldn't get. And wouldn't.
I think this is how like non-Weezer fans saw the Weezer sketch that you and I both loved.
Dude, you read my mind. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, cause the guys, go back in the archives and listen to our, episode with Matt Damon, the Weezer mm-hmm. sketch, which is, I mean, it touched me on a level, touched my soul.
The Weezer sketch has our hearts.
It really does. But I understand if you're not a Weezer fan or you don't really listen to Weezer like that, I understand how you wouldn't, that sketch wouldn't hit you the same way it hit me.
Right.
So when I watched this, I was like, oh, is this how people who didn't get that Weezer sketch feel the way I feel right now watching this?
And probably. I mean, it also reminded me a little of, do you remember when they had, I think it was like after a new Adele album dropped and they had like a Thanksgiving sketch where the family was arguing until they played the Adele song and then everyone was singing along and
oh yeah,
just swept up in the emotion of that.
Right. But even that I think would have been better than this because I don't know, this sketch just seemed like a one long commercial for this song. They're just because like the way they were talking about it and how amazing it was and how it gets you in the feels. Like I would imagine like downloads for this song just skyrocketed after this sketch.
Yeah, probably. Give them a nice little boost.
Yeah. And there just weren't too many like jokes. And like the one joke I did like in the sketch was when Beck was saying, oh, it's like this. It's like she ripped a page out of my diary. Then he looked around at the guys like, oh, I mean, notebook. I mean, plain brown leather. I mean, I can't read or write.
Yeah, yeah, that was cute. I mean, I wish they played up the contrast between like them being the macho guys and liking this sensitive song. And I thought like the lollipop sketch did that better. I think what I was most impressed by in this sketch was like a technical thing where they had the overhead shot above the pool table.
Yeah.
And Mikey gets on the pool table and he's like going up to the camera. That was impressive.
Yeah, no, that I was like, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, the sketch I didn't care for.
Didn't work for me. No. Next we had another weird one, the Mr. Chicken Legs pageant, which a beauty pageant of guys with chicken legs, just really skinny legs, grown men with the skinniest legs in America.
Dude, I feel like the person who wrote the sketch, it was maybe like after staying up all night and like at 5 a.m, somebody said, hey, Dismukes has really skinny legs and Mikey has really skinny legs and Pete has really skinny legs. Is that something?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't want this sketch so much as I want a sketch about how this sketch came to be. I would find that more interesting. This, I don't know, it was more weird than funny to me.
Yeah, like there was one line, and I tweeted it out, where Reggae says, it's the host of this pageant is Reggae and Chloe, who, you know, doesn't say much because she doesn't, I guess she doesn't.
I did like how Chloe as the co-host was just like giving him nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to cue her up and it'd be like, so what'd you think of that? Uh-huh.
Anything else? No, I'm good. I thought that was
because I mean I could really relate to that. I think we've all been there when you're co-hosting something with somebody and the other person is just giving you nothing. I mean, Darren, you know what that's like, right?
I definitely know what that's like. Like basically, when you kind of feel like you're kind of doing all the lifting and heavy work for hosting some type of, I don't know, show or podcast or whatever, and you're like you're kind of doing all the heavy lifting, you're bringing all the charisma, all the energy, and the other guy is just kind of just sitting there, just, you know, shaving his head, just not doing much or contributing much. Like, I am totally there with you.
Uh-huh.
So, with this sketch...
Yeah.
There's just, yeah, so, like, basically, there's this one line that Reggae says where he admits that this pageant is deeply stupid, yet strangely compelling. And I'm pretty sure that's what the writers were thinking when they wrote this sketch, like whenever they came up with the idea for it. I'm sure like it was like this idea came up to them when at 5 a.m, they had a deadline and they were just like, yeah, like there's something about these guys' legs. I can't stop looking at your weird skinny chicken legs. And then just wrote a sketch around that.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, at least a few of them just had to be wearing shorts around the office or something. And yeah. And it just built from there.
Yeah, I did like that one point where Andrew Dismukes were saying like how, like whenever somebody stands on their toes, their knees kind of stretch up, but with him, his legs are so skinny that they don't do that. And after that, he said, "Don't believe me, just watch."
Yeah,
I came out of nowhere. I thought that was like, all right, that was funny.
I like the random reference of olive oil Popeye's girlfriend being a prostitute.
That was a good, that was a good line.
And Reggae is just like, I think she was just his girlfriend. She's not a prostitute. Yeah. I mean, he's just, he played that well of him just sort of trying desperately to get this stupid pageant back on track.
Yeah. He's a pretty good performer in this episode, in this show.
Yeah, I was impressed with him over the course of the show.
Yeah, and of course, Cecily singing. Always a staple.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Cecily's probably just happy she has a chance to sing. She probably can't get as many dogs in the studio because of COVID concerns.
Oh.
So we are just letting her sing in every damn sketch we can.
Yeah. So, I mean, this sketch is it's a weird one, but I mean, I don't.
And let me say, I'm fine with that. She's a great singer. I'm happy to hear her sing. And if it makes her happy, you go for it. You have Cecily sing all the time. I'd rather see her play with puppies, but if we can't have that, I'll take her singing.
Yeah, you go, girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sketch, it's a weird one. It's like super silly. I don't hate it. Like it's charming.
I don't hate it. I don't have it in me to hate it. I feel like Mikey should have won the pageant because I felt like he had the skinniest legs.
Oh, that's true. Oh, you're saying that the fix was in on this?
The fix was in. I mean, Pete Davidson, I think, was the clear favorite. They gave him the Jack Skellington costume and all that. And they were like, you know, yeah, he did a kick-ass job as Andrew Cuomo earlier in the show. Let's give this to him.
But still, we all know Mikey was the real winner. He should have gotten the small.
He should have gotten. But you know, it's nice to see Andrew Dismukes getting a little more to do.
Yeah,
this was a good show. He was pretty prominently featured in the show.
He was. Dismukes was in a good chunk of the show. I was like,
I think this is his best episode so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer that you know, no Melissa and no Lauren, but we got a good chunk of Dismukes in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this sketch, it was silly, but there was like a charm about it. I can't deny. I was like, this is all right.
I see, this is silly but forgettable, I think, would sum it up for me.
All right. That's another way to go about it, too.
I mean, if you ask me in a couple months, I'll be like, yeah, I think I kind of vaguely remember that one, but I'm not going to be going back to this and rewatching it.
Yeah, like, it's not going to stay in my memory bank, but it's still like, all right, that was fun. That was a nice little charming thing. Something that might stay in my memory bank, our next sketch, the job interview.
I really like this one. This was another filmed segment of Beck Bennett interviewing Reggae Jean. I'm not sure if I should call him Reggae or Reggae Jean. Typing in, it's probably Reggae Jean, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. So he's interviewing him for a job, and it's an ad agency that works on spec.
Yeah, it's an ad agency called Mixed Martial Media, which is something that comes into play in another joke. But yeah, they work on spec. And they've, I think they've had such ads as Legos, Bet You Can't Eat Just One.
And Sherman, use after you poop. So they're submitting ad slogans to companies that have previously rejected them.
Right.
And we have a neat runner through the sketch of Bowen Yang just handing Beck notes with weird things, weird messages like, they have your daughter, your mother's topless in the lobby.
Yeah, and Beck,
and he just goes up to Reggae and hands him a little post-it note that says, hi.
Yeah, this sketch is a weird one, but I like it. It's like a lot of rapid-fire absurdity.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of nonsense after nonsense after nonsense. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people say it kind of reminded him of that House Hunter sketch from the, I think, Liev Schreiber episode, or the...
Yeah, yeah, the Hidden Ranch.
Yeah, like, or the, there was that Chopped sketch, I forget which episode that was in, but it was just a lot of, it kind of seemed like something maybe the State would have done back in the day, or Monty Python. There was just like this level of just absurdity after absurdity after absurdity happening. Like, there was one point where, like I said, where Beck says, you know, we here at Mixed Martial Media, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to say, Reggae, so what makes you think you're MMM material? It's like, oh, sorry, I stuttered there. Material.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really smart joke where I didn't catch it the first time, but I went back and watched it. And I was like, oh, like, if you remember the name of the place was Mixed Martial Media, then that MMM material thing was like,
yeah,
a nice little
this was, I just thought, wonderfully weird, and I honestly loved it. This is definitely, I think, my favorite of the show, and one of my favorites of the season so far.
Yeah, it was just like really, like, you could see like him getting more and more absurd, and you at first you thought, you would think that like Reggae Jean would be like the straight man, but then he gets just as weird as him. Like, he shows him
He's showing his portfolio, and he's got weird slogans. So yeah, he's a good fit for this company. And the payoff at the end was, he has a slogan for Netflix. Netflix, we have porn now.
Right. And at the end, I think Beck says, get Kevin Netflix on the phone.
Right.
This sketch was odd. It was bizarre. I mean, I know sometimes I say I don't like, you know, really bizarre stuff, like, you know, the Kyle Mooney bizarre. But I think this one was like the right type of bizarre, if that's
this was great. I'm not sure who wrote this right now, but kudos to them.
Yeah, this sketch was like, I was like, all right, like, once I got the rhythm about what they were doing, how it was being played, like, how, all right, like, another something weird is gonna happen, and something weird is gonna happen, so another weird thing's gonna happen, and he's gonna answer back with other weird oddball things, I was like, all right, I get the vibe now. And once you go for it, I thought it was really good. This was definitely one of my favorite
sketches. It was great, and I thought it was like the perfect length. So, sketch of the night for me.
Absolutely. Thumbs up.
Yep. So next we had our musical guest, Bad Bunny. His first number was along with Rosalia, who is his guest performer. She had comically long fingernails.
I didn't even notice that. Like,
you didn't notice the fingernails. On my, these things were like a couple inches off her fingers.
Oh, wow. No,
I could notice nothing but.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't notice that at all. Holy moly.
You know how, like, you know, those bugles, you know, sometimes you put those on your fingertips?
Oh,
That's what her fingernails looked like.
Oh, shit. I totally know what you're talking about. I thought I was the only one that did that. Did everybody else do that?
No, that's a thing. That's a thing that people do. That's the main reason they eat bugles, I think.
Yeah, you put them on your fingers and pretend you're a witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, so I think the songs he did were La Noche, De Anoche.
De Anoche, and then the second number was De Teso Lo Mejor. And I'm sure my Spanish pronunciation is terrible. I apologize for that.
Ay, caramba.
Songs all in Spanish. No idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, I did not expect that. I actually expected kind of more upbeat, kind of, you know, dancey songs. I expected, like, you know, background dancers or something. But they were like, the first song was a little bit upbeat, but the second song was like almost like a ballad. It was like really kind of, you know, slow and low. And I guess makes sense because, like, even with this crowd, like, they were screaming. At the top of their lungs over anything. So if you had something like high energy, they would have just whooped them up even more.
Yeah, no, they would have spontaneously exploded.
Yeah, the whole place would have just been on fire.
Yeah.
Exactly. I thought these songs were okay. They're not, you know, really my bad.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It's just not my personal thing.
Yeah, like the first song...
He was like practically making out with Rosalia at the end of his first number. They were getting like really close and intimate. And I'm like, okay, I guess they're a thing.
Yeah, there was almost like... like insertion or something.
They were not practicing social distancing any stretch of the imagination. They were up close and personal.
They were socially all up in it.
I was like, I don't think I've done anything more than fist bump somebody since August. So
yeah, but they were like, no, we've both got the shots. We're going for it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, there, no fear there.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But yeah.
I mean, do you have that when you see somebody in media? When you see like somebody hugging or kissing or getting it, and you're just like, oh no, you shouldn't be doing that.
It's starting to happen, yeah, where I see people, you know, like when I watch old movies or something like that and I see people kind of without masks and hugging, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember those.
My brain's gotten reprogrammed enough that like when I see that on a show or a movie, I'm just like, oh no, you shouldn't be doing that. That's dangerous.
Get away from him. You know, he's got the Rona, you don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. Not much else to say about Bad Bunny.
The first song kind of sounded like music that would be playing in a nightclub that wouldn't let me in.
It sounded like what I would imagine the music would be playing at a nightclub I would choose not to go to.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And if I did choose to go to, they would not let me in.
Right. Exactly. I'd have to pay a cover, or I wouldn't be wearing the right shoes, or
I'd have to leave the apartment and do something, and I really try not to do that if I can help it.
Oh, Lord, absolutely. That's the sound of that just terrifies me.
Exactly, exactly.
Makes me go loco.
All right, so next on the SNL Introverts, we have Weekend Update.
With Michael Jost and Michael... Well, I say Michael Jost. What the fuck is...
You said Michael Jost and Colin Shea.
Wow, I really flubbed that one. Yeah.
You did. You're trying so hard to get the host name right. We're messing up the names of cast members.
I mess up the names I say literally every week.
Yeah.
But yeah, Justin Che making jokes, making quips. You know, Ted Cruz and la-di-da.
Yep. Yep.
I like that one. I like that one joke Jost had about Ted Cruz's face looks like it's slowly being reclaimed by nature.
Yeah, that's a good line. That's good. They're strong at, like, you know, and this person in the news who looks like this, like when Andrew Cuomo came up, they said he looks like all three Goodfellas at once.
He's not wrong.
No, not wrong. Not wrong.
Not wrong.
If there's like a set person who comes up with those lines, they are very good at their job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Cheers to you, good sir.
And, you know, they're, of course, talking about all the problems that are happening in Texas right now, where millions, literally millions of people have like lost power and they have no heat and they've just been getting pummeled by the winter storms. Che had a great line. He was like, "This kind of thing would never happen in New York," said people who've never lived in the projects.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's the lie? Did I get too real for you guys?
Where's the lie?
That's, dude, it's not, no lie. No lie.
No lies detected.
Sorry, sorry, can't handle that truth bomb, America.
And, you know, maybe we should also mention Chase. He's getting a little blowback online right now for another one of his jokes.
Yeah. There was a joke he had that was a little, a lot of people didn't care for.
The joke was, he says, Israel is reporting that they've vaccinated half their population. I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half. A lot of people are coming back at him saying that joke's anti-Semitic. Other people are like, no, he's talking about like the real issues in Israel. I don't know. I personally didn't take it as anything more than there are a lot of Jews in Israel. And maybe I'm being naive. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's how I took it too. I just took it as that, and that was it. I don't think he has any, you know, alternate hidden agenda by saying that. I think he just thought it was a funny joke to say, oh yeah, a lot of Jewish people in Israel. Here's this joke that reflects that. I don't think he's like trying to say anything deeper than that.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody's seeing this through their own little political agenda filter, I guess. And
right.
I mean, I saw one tweet where it was like, you know, SNL, which has a long history of anti-Semitic humor. And I'm like, they do? Really? Okay. I've not noticed. I have no idea what you're thinking of, but
yeah, it's the first I'm hearing of it.
I don't know.
People are, sometimes people just kind of hear and see what they want to see. And it's just, it just might not be there. Like what you want.
Yeah. And I wonder how many of these people actually saw the show, or if they're just hearing about this second or third hand.
That's another thing. Like a lot of times people just kind of read headlines or just kind of see like a clip or like a thumbnail or something. And that's all they need to understand everything that was said. And that's all the information they need to like formulate their opinion on something. It's like, you're not fully informed, man. You need to get in there and know the whole story.
I mean, it's good to see things in context, and that's, I don't know. I just looked at this whole controversy and I can't really get it from either side.
Yeah. Remember context, John? Remember context?
Vaguely. Yeah. Vaguely.
Yeah. It was nice.
It was nice. Good times.
Yeah, good times. Good guys. Times. Good times. So next up, we had our first correspondent piece by Pete Davidson. Coming up to the desk.
I've heard of him.
Ah! I know him.
He's the chicken legs pageant winner.
I know. Coming fresh off his win.
I'm still riding a high from earlier in the show.
Oh my God.
I kind of wish he had his pageant sash, which is, you know, Mr. Chicken Legs 2021. That would have been fun.
Still wearing the crown. Yeah,
exactly. But he's talking about, you know, celebrating Valentine's Day during a pandemic, and Colin says, well, how was your Valentine's Day, Pete? And Pete immediately comes back and he's like, well, I'm sure it wasn't as good as yours, Colin. Because, you know, married to Scarlett Johansson. Quarantining with Scarlett Johansson, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
I hope so. I don't know if she's like shooting a movie right now, but yeah. So, you know, nice Valentine's Day, it seems like.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Well done. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. And Pete talks about his decision to finally move out of his house with his mother in Staten Island.
Yeah, apparently. And Pete, of course, had this line where, you know, his mom is a lot like SNL. No matter what I do, I'm never asked to leave.
Right.
And, of course, both are really old and noticeably fatigued.
Yes. Like, he also talked about how he's watching the Britney Spears documentary with his mom, and he's like, oh, whoa, my mom has way more of a case to take over my finances than Britney's dad did.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this is like another desk piece where we catch up on Pete's life, and he just kind of talks about what he's going through. Like, you know, it's just Pete being Pete.
He lives a life with a lot of drama.
Right, and I think my favorite part is when he was talking to to Che saying, I meant Che, but talking to Joe. I don't know why I can't tell the two apart anymore.
To Colin Che, yes.
To Colin Che, he said, I think Joe was saying, hey, where are you going to move? Are you going to move to another borough or something? And he said, no, I'm going to stay in Staten Island because, you know, I can't be all fancy and live in Kennebunkport or Petrich Farm or wherever you live.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't live there. And then and Pete says, well, wherever you live, I'm sure it has more boats than people. That's a great line.
That is a great line. Like, I'm sorry, I still can't believe that Colin is from Staten Island. He looks so much like a New England guy.
He is so preppy. You would put him on like a sailboat with like a sweater tied around his neck, and he's wearing like light colored pants rolled up to the knees and loafers.
Right. Like if he was in an 80s movie, he would be part of like the high end snooty club that would like shit on the dirty, you know, the dirty, our heroes, the ragtag crew of misfits.
He would be one of the Omegas in Delta in Animal House.
Oh, absolutely.
He would be trying to suppress the Deltas. He would be like in a, like for a movie we watched more recently, Spies Like Us. He'd be one of the Russian people who is like, you know, the really preppy dude with the collar turned up.
Spies Like Us. Spies Like Us. Hey, yeah. Hey, what do you say?
What do you say? Someone took plans away. So what's all of us?
I'm sorry.
Good song, man. Good song.
Fantastic too.
Top 10 song by a Beatle. Can't get it anywhere except on YouTube.
Oh, the world.
Once again, that shit ain't right.
It ain't right.
We live in the upside down.
My God. Good Lord. Oof. I mean, up is down, left is right. Dogs and cats living together in mass hysteria.
But this was a good segment. I've come to enjoy Pete Davidson's Weekend Update segments. I think he's really figured out the format.
Yeah.
Strong show for Pete Davidson, man.
I would say so. This is like a... I mean, this episode, a lot of Pete, a lot of Beck, and a lot of dismukes. I was like, this is
a fair amount of dismukes.
Good amount of dismukes. And the second correspondent segment we have is Heidi playing Jesse Raunch, who's a person who delivers food to needy families and communities. And she comes out and she's straight up dressed like Freddy Krueger.
She's got the Freddy Krueger hat. She's got the Freddy Krueger red and olive green striped sweater. And she is just showing up at people's houses dressed as Freddy Krueger.
Right. And of course she says, oh no, this is, you know, my old sweater. And, you know, I just came from a barbecue. So that's why there's like, it's all burnt and scuffed up and there's blood on it. And the hat, oh no, the hat's my dad's old hat. And I just wear it, you know, to make him feel closer to me. And it's just based, this was an interesting piece just because, like, Heidi is usually kind of very much in her character. She's, like, very focused. This one, it seemed like she was playing it, like, a little bit more loose and having a little bit more fun with it.
Yeah, and Shay's kind of questioning her. Like, he's comparing her to Freddy Krueger. She, like, one point sings the song that Freddy Krueger would sing. And they're all sorts of, and she one point has the Freddy Krueger glove on with the blades on the fingertips.
Right. At one point, I think she almost kind of like flinched a little bit. I think she came close to like hitting herself in the face with that thing.
Did she? I didn't notice that.
Look back. She kind of like, because like she was kind of like flailing around with the glove in her hand. You know, it's like, I don't know why I can't use this glove knife to chop up the barbecue, Che. And like she was flailing her hand about. And she almost like kind of flinched a little bit because I think it almost got close to her face. So I think we almost had a samurai incident happen on set.
A little Buck Henry cutting the forehead thing.
Yes, that was it. I was trying to think of with a samurai attorney or something.
I mean, I'm hoping they did not sharpen the blades because that just seems like asking for trouble.
It does. It does.
But who knows? This was weird. It was all right. I might have enjoyed it more if I was more of a horror fan or a Freddy Krueger fan in general. I got the gist of it though.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It's not. I mean, I'm a big fan of Heidi Gardner. But this wasn't her strongest set, but yeah, that's fine. I thought it was all right. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, and it was kind of a short Weekend Update, it felt like. We had some solid jokes in there. I liked the joke about the Mars Rover Twitter account, the Cardassian Kanye divorce, where Jay joked about getting all of his sneakers out of a white woman's apartment.
Mm. That was a good one.
And Jost had a really good joke where he was talking about how they were changing processes for Ash Wednesday in Catholic churches because of COVID concerns. And he's saying, like, well, you know, maybe no touching could just be a great new rule in general.
Yeah, that got an applause break. I was like, ooh.
I like how understated that joke was. That was great.
That was a good one. Props to Jost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jost at his best there.
Yeah.
So good job to Michael Jost on that one.
Yes, and Colin Che, you'll get him next time.
Exactly. Next we had, what was this next sketch called? Songs of the Sea?
Sea Shanty,
okay. Because this is the big TikTok trend right now is sea shanties. I don't understand why it is.
I really don't understand why this is as confusing to me as Gorilla Glue. Like, sea shanties, of all things, like, making a comeback on TikTok? That's confusing.
I mean, I'm not on TikTok, so I don't have the context for it, I'm sure. But, wow.
I did not see this coming.
So weird. But we got Andrew Dismukes as the new guy on the sea voyage of this whaling ship, and Reggae as the captain. And they start singing sea shanties, but all the sea shanties are all about how horrible life is at sea.
Right. So basically it's all them singing, like you said, singing songs about, and then like it slowly kind of dawns on Andrew Dismukes that, oh, these pirates don't seem to really know how pirating works. One of them, I think, says they've never been on a boat before.
They weren't supposed to be pirates. They were on a whaling ship.
Oh, I thought they were pirates. Is this not
perfect? No, they said it was a whaling ship.
Wow, I missed that one. Holy moly. Maybe I just wanted them to be pirates in my mind.
I mean, it would have been fun if they were pirates, but no, they were whalers.
Okay, and they were all singing these sea shanties together, like, yo, ho, ho, I drank some salt water. I don't feel well. I need to lie down.
Right.
And things like
that. Yeah, a couple of the people had to lie down over the course of this sketch.
Yes, very much so. And then we have the ship navigator comes out at one point, saying, who played
and
by...
He was played by Bad Bunny.
Right. And he says, you know, of course, he's just trying to figure out where they are. Because at one point, during one of their shanties, saying, like, and we don't know where we are.
And right. And Bad Bunny, he pulls out a map, and it's just a kid's drawing of a boat on the ocean.
Yeah. And Dismuke is like, wait, none of you know where we are? Like... He's good at playing like a straight guy, like that.
He was a good straight person in this.
Yeah, like that role that like Mikey usually plays. He's good in this.
Yeah, yeah. That's also in Mikey's wheelhouse. I also liked how they talked about how they would be turning to cannibalism when they're only 45 minutes away from shore.
Right.
And he's exactly. Like, is that necessary? I mean, couldn't you just wait?
Yeah, and there's like a lot of that, and I like this one. This one was like it had like a good feel to it. It kind of felt like. Like a sketch that would have come out with like in the 80s. Like it had like an old school kind of tone and vibe to it, which I jived with.
Yeah, and it looked like cheesy enough to be a sketch from the 80s, I thought. I think my only criticism was it was a little tough for me to hear some of the lyrics in the sea shanties. I kind of wish they'd like put them down and close captions at the bottom of the screen or something.
Follow the bouncing ball, that type of thing?
Yeah, that might have been fun.
And there was another thing.
Bless you.
Thank you, sir. I think there was like another thing that was kind of weird too, where at one point they bring out the person who built the ship and knows everything about the ship, and that it's Kate. And Kate comes out as the man who built the ship, and she gets like an applause break from the audience.
Where
people are like, "Yeah, it's Kate!" I was like,
"Yeah."
It's like it was like she was like making a guest appearance, but I was like, "No, she's been in the
show." It was like somebody gave a bunch of 6-year-olds sugar. At a birthday party, and they were all hyped up on the sugar high.
It's like cocaine, like kids hopped up on cocaine and sugar.
They found some of like Belushi's old cocaine, and they just passed it around to the audience beforehand. So,
like this audience was like, "Oh my, what is wrong with everybody?"
They lost their shit over literally everything.
Like, oh my god, it's Kate McKinnon! Woo!
I did like how Kate McKinnon was like, "Hey, is the bottom of the ship supposed to be all wet? I was paying so much attention to the stuff above deck. I didn't really pay attention to the stuff below."
Yeah, so like, I forgot to build the floor, and I left the lipot at home. Yeah.
I mean, this was cute. It was just more cute than funny to me.
I'll give you that. I enjoyed this one. I thought this was fun enough and yeah, cute. Yeah, this one was all right.
Yeah. Next, what was the next sketch is Let's Say Grace. This is a couple families coming together for a nice community meal with their neighbors, and they get into sort of a dueling match with saying prayers before the meal.
Grace off.
They're trying to outdo each other.
Yeah, of course. One family, it's with Heidi, Andrew, Beck, and AD. It's an all white family, and the other family coming by their house, it's Reggae and all the black cast members. It is.
I'm glad you said it because I could not.
Chris, Keenan, Punky, and Ego. All right.
Yeah.
It's you know.
They have names, Jared.
I know.
They have names.
I can call them all the black cast. That's my word. I can say that. So it's just them going over to their house. They want to say grace. Andrew Dismuke says grace. And, you know, it's kind of like a lackluster grace, but it's whatever. And then, of course, Ego was like, I'm sorry, can we say grace? Because I felt like that's grace wasn't real. It wasn't.
Yeah. She's like, I want to do this upright.
Right. Because that's.
And they have a much more extensive prayer. And they give shout outs to Earth, Wind, and Fire, Belle Biv DeVoe, and the Children of Destiny.
Yeah. They go over the top. And, of course, the audience loves it. The audience is like, yeah, Destiny Child. Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of them.
And then 80, of course, is not going to be showing up like this. So she's got to one-up them. And she says, well, why don't we have Heidi as my post-pubescent daughter?
Yeah, that was a weird thing. That was a weird thing.
And then she calls her busty daughter a minute later. It was just so out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was like, what? That was a weird thing to throw in there.
It's apropos of nothing. She's just like, my post-pubescent busty daughter. I'm like, okay.
All right, here we go. And then, of course, they do a little bit more livelier version of saying grace. And then, of course, now the black family has to be like, oh, okay. Now we got to bring it. And, it's like bring it on, basically, with saying grace.
Yeah,
and, of course, like they bring out, like, microphone, then they have, like, a sound system, and then they go into...
They're doing dance moves.
Yeah, and then they're like, all right, let's... And then, like, of course, it turns into, like, a big, you know, pray, you know, big, like, a big... church.
It's just the side of a rap battle.
Yeah, and then of course it ends up with everybody dancing and grooving, and then Beck starts to dance, and then Beck starts doing like donkey kicks and like the funky worm, and like I'm like, whoa,
is that okay? I know what that dance move is, but I was forgetting what it's called. It's called the funky worm.
I'm pretty sure it's the funky worm. It's like one of those like old school like 80s b-boy dances.
Yeah, where you're doing like the wave with your whole body.
Yeah, like I. That kind of surprised me. I was like, gee, look, Beck's going in for it. Whoa.
Beck's got some moves, man.
Yeah, I was like, all right. Like, was this whole sketch just so Beck can show off his dance moves?
I also liked how the black family at one point, they broke out the church fans.
Yes.
And they were just fanning themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It got lively. And but yeah, and then the sketch kind of ends there with just like everybody just dancing and being like, amen. I got a kick out of this.
Did you notice that Beck almost he seemed to like run to his mark like right as the sketch was starting?
Yes, I did notice that as the sketch was starting, he was like hopping up on stage.
Yeah, like, and then like a second later, he kind of like scoots to his mark next to 80, and I'm like, oh, Beck nearly missed his cue.
That was close.
that was as close as you could possibly cut it, man.
Like, I'm pretty sure he ran to stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty exciting. But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought this sketch, it was fun, high energy. I mean, Beck doing those donkey kicks or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that, but it was like, all right, that won me over. This sketch was all right.
I liked how it was like this good-natured competition between the two families. I thought that was fun.
Right, exactly. This was all right.
This was all right. This was a solid sketch. I think the back half of the show was much better than the front half.
Yeah, you might be right. I think. Yeah.
We got just a few more, but I think overall the last half of the show was stronger.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
All right. Next we got Bridgerton Intimacy Coordinator.
Woo!
My God. The audience really went nuts for this one.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, Reggae Jean Paige is playing his Bridgerton character of the Duke, somebody or other.
And Chloe was his wife. Yeah, and of course
Daphne.
Yeah. And of course he said the line,
because she still has the dress from the monologue, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much straight from the monologue. And of course, at this point, he says the line, "I burn for you," and everybody was like, "Oh, like just a flood happening down there."
And because like we now live in an age where they bring in things like intimacy coordinators for sex scenes and things like that to make sure that everybody's okay and boundaries are being respected. We have Mikey and Pete come in as the substitute intimacy coordinators because their regular intimacy coordinator tested positive for COVID after being at a COVID charity event.
Which there's the irony.
Yeah, there's the irony. Right. And they're normally special effects guys by trade. They both talk basically like Gilbert Gottfried. they're like, "We didn't read the script, but we got the gist of it."
It's like a girl show to me.
They think the characters are brother and sister instead of man and wife. And they're making all sorts of weird suggestions like, "Here, you can wear these nipple covers that are like green screen."
Yeah.
So we can put somebody else's nipples on you.
Right. And they also have a bag of what they called beeve sleeves and dong bags.
Great names.
I think at one point, like Reggae says, "Are those even clean?" And then like Pete takes a minute to like smell them. And then he smells them again. And
he sniffs them deeply. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're really half-assing it, and they're trying to choreograph this sex scene, and they're like, "Well, what if you're here on the bed and like, you know, you have one leg up and you're doing this," and they're like, "Hey, I hope our parents don't see again," because they think the characters are brother and sister.
Right. It's so a lot of them. I think at one point, Pete calls Reggae's character Bridgetown instead of Bridgerton.
Uh huh.
And I mean, this is all pretty much just kind of Mikey and Pete just kind of working out these characters.
Doing all the and the kicker at the end, they're also the body makeup people.
Uh-huh.
Wah, wah. I like this sketch. I thought it was funny. I think it should have definitely been earlier in the show.
I'm actually surprised they put this on later on the show. Like you said, this would have worked a little bit earlier and gotten, you know, this is what the people would have wanted. But this was all right. The sketch.
I thought it was a solid sketch. Audience. Really annoying though they were horrible. I was just like, shut the fuck up and watch the damn sketch. Like when Reggae Jean Page like got onto the bed, people were like whooping it up.
Oh my god, he's on a bed!
Oh! He's on a piece of furniture. Oh my god, what do we do? Oh yeah,
I was like, by that point, I was like, I
was so sick of this audience.
I was ready to tap out. I was like, I can't with this. I cannot with this.
They were the worst. The worst!
Oof. Like, it's like one of those things, like, you know, don't be careful what you wish for. Because, like, last week I was like, this audience is super dead. And now this audience was just way too much.
We wished on a monkey's paw, and we paid the price for it.
We paid dearly,
yeah.
So
you know, just some middle ground. That's all we ask.
That's all I want. I just don't need somebody screaming at the top of their lungs over just the reference of Bridgerton. I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life or other afterlife.
Yeah, exactly. Lastly, we had another pre-tape, a grocery wrap. This was, Kyle Beck and, like, once again, Andrew Desmukes making a rap video in a grocery store, and everyone keeps stopping them to ask them to put on masks.
I like the turn this one took, because, like, the three of them pop up, and they're dressed in, like, 90s hip-hop clothes, and they're like, we should get something to eat. Let's go to the grocery store. And then it's them doing, like, a 90s rap. Yo, the grocery store. Let's get the pizza. You know, the kind of Beastie Boys type 90s rap. But then it cuts to them revealing that they're actually in the modern times and people saying, "Hey, you should wear a mask because
you can't come in here without a mask." And like other shoppers are stopping them. The manager, played by Reggae Jean, stops them, and he's like, yeah, you really need to mask up or we're gonna have to ask you to leave.
And it's like, no, no, it's cool, because like, we're making a rap video to like go viral. Yeah. So like, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are such idiots. They think that the fact that they're making a rap video excuses everything.
Yeah, and I
like this. I like the turn. I like that it switched film stocks whenever we were switching from the rap video. And then, you know, like, we go from like this colorful 90s style rap video to that sort of fluorescent lighting, that bluish fluorescent lighting on in the real world stuff. I liked that switch. That was cool.
Yeah, I like how Kyle was like, no, we're just trying to make a video to go viral. Why can't we rap?
Yeah.
Like, him just saying that over and over again. It's like, oh, come on. Like, yeah, everybody knows, like, Corona is just like the flu, man. Why can't we rap?
Yeah. I liked how they were, like, slight conspiracy theorists. I liked how his character got tased. This was very funny. I really liked it.
Yeah, I dug this one. I was like, oh, this is a fun one. I like
strong way to end the show.
Yeah, I would agree. And I guess that's the episode. And then, you know, this had the good nights and bing bang boom.
Yeah, this was I think this was a strong episode overall. Real step up from last week. I mean, last week was a weak show, pretty much all the way around, I thought.
Yeah.
But this one, pretty solid. I would give this show, I think, a solid B, maybe even a B+. I would give the audience an F+.
Yeah, like the audience, honestly,
A plus for enthusiasm, but F plus in just sheer annoyingness. My God.
I would agree. Like, the audience actually almost ruined the show for me, just because,
yeah,
like, even me having to do the rewatch, I was like almost kind of dreading it, because like, I don't know if I can listen to that shrieking again. And
yeah,
but yeah, like, I mean, it's... audience aside, this, yeah, this show had some, was pretty strong. Like the grocery rap,
yeah.
I mean, Job Interview, I thought was a solid sketch. I liked Sea Shanty.
Yes.
I liked what was it? The prayers.
Uh-huh.
Weekend
Loco was good.
Yeah, Weekend Update was pretty solid. This was audience withstanding, this was a pretty strong show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big step up from last week, which was nice to see. But it really goes to show you can be too enthusiastic of an audience. You can be enthusiastic to the point of being annoying, and I feel like, I mean, they were whooping and hollering so much, they were literally disrupting the sketches half the time.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we've both done stand-up, and we've both performed in front of audiences who are, they're not heckling, really, but they're going, like, they're doing too much to show how much they enjoy the show. So,
yeah,
so much that it throws off your rhythm and throws off everybody's rhythm. Like,
I remember there was an episode of Seinfeld with that, where there was somebody who was like a friend of a friend in the audience during one of Seinfeld's stand-up routines, and she would be like, oh, that's so true, that's so true. And even just that, that's enough to throw somebody off.
Yeah, because it's a weird type of space, because they're not heckling you. Like I said, they're not being negative. They are being positive. They are enjoying.
They are being supportive in a weird way, but it is disruptive.
Yeah, they're being positive. They like what you're doing, but it's just like, it's too much. Laughing at the setup of jokes is too much. That's where I'll leave that.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah, that's like, they didn't say anything funny. Just where are you laughing at? Just like where the joke might go is enough to make you laugh.
You know, it's like those episodes of Happy Days where like the audience goes nuts when like Ralph Mouth walks on.
Right. Very.
You know. They're just so freaking thrilled that they're there in the same room as Ralph Mouth. And hey, no disrespect to Mr. Donnie Most.
Of course not.
Great American and wonderful in that role. But my God, it's just Ralph Mouth, people.
John, as always, you hit with like the most current references of the day.
I know.
Of the day.
I know.
And you don't know who Bad Bunny is? I'm so shocked.
I know. Well, I mean, look, the Bad Bunny time comes out of the Happy Days rerun watching time. So,
gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we can't do that.
Hey. So let's go to our Twitter account. We put out on the Twitter that we were doing this episode, talking about the Reggae Jean Paul, Reggae Jean Page. I don't know if I said Sean Paul or John. I'm so tired.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
So on our Twitter, we got a tweet from good friend of the show, Manette Marotti, saying, I appreciate that they reserve the hostess hot joke for the monologue only. Reggae Jean felt like a cast member at some point in the episode, and his comedic timing was solid. Lowering my expectations initially helped me enjoy this episode.
I would agree.
That's how I go through life. Just lower your expectations and you won't be disappointed.
Exactly. Ladies. Yeah, I thought he was a solid host. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back as long as the audience is less annoying.
Yeah, he was into it. Like the sea shanty thing, he was like really giving it his all. He was like really, he's really loving it. It's like, oh, okay, reggae. I see you.
Next, from Soaps and Sci-Fi, we have, I have my complaints, as always, but this felt more to me like an SNL episode than a lot of this or last season. The ensemble cast feel and solid performances, the rare slice of life piece, prayer sketch, well executed, in parentheses, if familiar, pre-tapes, and a consistent pace throughout. So, yeah, sounds like he liked it.
I like it. I like it a lot. And we got a good friend of the show, Bill Brasky. He's saying, horniest SNL ever. Even the musical guest segment was horny. Calm down, audience. Yeah. And I agree. Like, I mean, we've seen shows with, like you said, Josh Hartnett, the BTS episode, where it's just... Like the episodes where just the audience is, you could tell, is just full of people that are just...
When One Direction came on, I remember they were going nuts for them. Whenever it's like a big teen idol.
Yeah, but like I think this episode outdid all of those. It was just like, it was nonstop. It was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, it was probably a bad idea to give everyone raw oysters right before taping. But
you know what? Yeah, the Roy Oysters, the horny goat weed, maybe you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Like the powdered Viagra.
Yeah, the chocolates.
Yeah.
What else is an aphrodisiac? Champagne? I don't know.
I don't know. I've run out of my list of aphrodisiacs.
That's all I know. Just
That's all I know. I mean, I've been single in a pandemic for a year. What the hell do I know of aphrodisiacs?
Ladies!
There was some other comment we had. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay. Well, while you look for that other comment, we'll just talk about who's hosting next week.
Yes, please do.
Musical guest and guest host, Jersey's own Mr. Nick Jonas is coming up.
I forget that the Jonas Brothers are from Jersey.
That's right, Wyckoff, baby.
That's cool. Yeah, that's it'll be neat to see Nick Jonas. You know, does he have like a big solo career now? Like, are the Jonas Brothers, they like broke up and they got back together, right?
I think they broke up and they came back together. But I think like Nick Jonas has like some solo stuff coming out. I believe he has an album, and he's in a movie too. I think he's in that movie with like Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland.
That makes sense. He's done some acting. He was in one of the Jumanji movies.
Yes, he was, the most recent one, like the sequel that came out.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, you know, he was like the guy who was stuck in the Jumanji game.
Yeah. So it seems like he's trying to kind of be like, you know, like what Justin Timberlake was when he kind of went solo, where he's like, oh, I'm funny and I can do acting too, and I do music type of, you know, all showman type of. Role he's trying to fill.
Yeah. I found that other tweet I wanted to note. This was a nice thing that our follower NYAC Henderson tweeted. Said, I tweet about podcasts a lot. Sorry, I love my podcasts, and no, I don't get paid to hype them up. These folks are my sanity. Thanks to the storytellers / therapists / pretend besties. And we were one of about 6 or 7 podcasts that they mentioned by name. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So that was really sweet. And because God knows we're having our own troubles like maintaining sanity. So if we're helping somebody else, that's really nice to hear. That's really meaningful.
Yeah, my mind is slipping on a daily basis. So if we help you keep your self from going loco, then you're welcome. And thank you so much for the kind words.
Yeah, that was really nice. So thank you so much for that, NYAC Henderson.
Thank you.
So, so next week, Nick Jonas, and so we'll watch that. You know, it'll be neat to. It's fun when we got the host and the musical guest, when it's one person doing both.
Yeah, and he's a person we have heard of, So he's not totally he's not totally coming out of the blue. So yeah, it'll be fun to see what he can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, and that's our episode, guys. Thanks again for listening, as always. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. Give us a tweet, follow us, holler at us, and you know, maybe give us a nice little review on the Apple Podcasts or, you know, listening podcast place of your choice.
Yeah, and if you want to like, you know, share a word about us on Twitter or wherever, yeah, please give us a shout out. Share a funny tweet that we had. I wrote a tweet the other day about you know, Nick Jonas hosting musical guesting, and I was like, oh well, we hope this works out. We hear Nick Jonas, and Nick Jonas has some bad blood between them, and that got a little love. So thank you for that.
That's right. That damn near went viral, baby. Like we're on,
well, by our standards, by our it's standards. not by viral standards, but by SNL nerds. Standards, yes.
We're on the rise. That's what I'm saying. So you want to?
We're on the rise. Word is getting out. You can also follow our solo Twitter and Instagram accounts. I'm at Trumbull Comic, at TRUMBULL and the word comic.
And I'm at Darren Credible on Twitter and Instagram. That's
DARIN Credible. Great. And so we'll see you next week for Nick Jonas and Nick Jonas. Hope those two can work out their differences. But until then, nerds out.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.